Welcome to the fourth episode of Two Women, a Movie, and a Microphone. My name is Anna.
And my name is Carrie, and this marks the first weekend where Anna and I were both able to see the same movies. So, fingers crossed, we'll have some good conversation today.
Yes, we're not famous movie podcasters yet, so they don't pay us, nor do they offer us free screenings, free screenings of movies that we can go to, so... We get to go to the movies when we have time.
Exactly. Well, there was some interesting things happening this week, news-wise. Kind of a humorous article came out comparing The Hunger Games to Twilight, because apparently if it's a young adult series, we must compare it to Twilight.
I don't understand... It genuinely just must be the fact that it's like a tween movie, and that maybe the girls are kind of freaking out a little bit over the lead characters, because I can see nothing similar between the two, you know?
No, there's nothing similar between the two.
Yeah.
Like, one is so just like overly like angsty and dramatic, and the other one is like...
ridiculously like light on reality,
right?
Know, or lessons to be learned,
right?
Except don't have sex with a vampire.
Don't have sex until you're married, and even especially then,
don't have sex with a vampire because you have vampire babies,
right?
And it's bad,
right? Very bad. But that's pretty much the main lesson to come out of Twilight, I guess. Whereas The Hunger Games is about, you know, family and survival and kind of a commentary on, you know, what the world can become, and, you know, there's a lot more going on in it that seems a little more, I don't know, thought-provoking.
Well, yeah, because a bunch of the stars were kind of talking about, like, the message or whatever of the movie, and the book, I guess. And they're really hoping that Hunger Games can kind of encourage especially young people to get active, you know, mm-hmm. sort of like open their eyes up to, like, there are kind of oppressive regimes around the world, and, you know, you kind of have to stand up to them or else you're going to... But don't tell me what happens, because I haven't finished the book yet, so I don't really know mm-hmm. how it ends.
Yes. We won't discuss it at all.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I find it a little bit offensive to the movie itself to be compared to Twilight. And I kind of got the impression when I read this article that the director was a little bit offended about that. She's like, no, it doesn't make any sense. Yes, I would be too.
And I mean, frankly, I would be offended if I were the author and my books were being compared to those books, Twilight, which...
Oh my God, yes.
They are bad.
Some of the worst literature written. Okay, maybe not the worst, but definitely pretty high up there.
Yeah, it's bad.
The other difference I really see is that the stars and everybody involved with this movie is very, very passionate about it. We feel like this is a good movie to make. This means something. It can have an effect. We hope it can have effect. Whereas with Twilight, like, yeah, this will make a shitload of money. Woo!
Right.
You know?
Although it could
That's
be, I mean,
the only reason,
you know,
I
they
see
could
people
compare...
making that into a movie.
They could compare the amount of, like, fans out there as, like, a Twilight amount of fans. You know, like, an equal amount of fans. Because it does have a huge following.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
Again, it's not just kids that are reading this. You know, it's all ages. And, you know, it's got a pretty massive following. So in that way, you can kind of make that comparison, but as far as, like, comparing the actual subject matter, there's just no comparison.
It's a pretty weak comparison.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a pretty weak comparison, in my opinion.
I agree. I do think it's kind of funny. Like, a little while back, they had a little article out that they were not letting any of the Twilight cast audition for the Hunger Games.
Ha, 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 ha.
Trying to separate themselves.
As they should.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I read a little article about the main character, the girl playing Katniss. Oh my gosh, I blanked on her name.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, sorry. She was saying, when she was talking about the mall tour, and she's like, it really kind of felt like NSYNC, where I was kind of the unpopular one. I mean, I'm assuming that she was, you know, alluding to, because she's like, when people were signing, they're like, I love you, you're the best, and they'd be like, sign this, okay, moving on to the next boy, you know, just sort of like...
I wouldn't know. I didn't get to go through the line.
I know you didn't. You probably would have been the oldest person there.
I doubt it.
I guess it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, Tom Cruise maybe might be doing a fifth Mission Impossible. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Because originally, originally the plan was to sort of pass it off, like to this sort of be like his sort of last... the last one he would be sort of the main character, right? He's gonna pass it off to, you know, Jeremy Renner and like have him sort of take over. But Ghost Protocol did so well, they're like, okay, we gotta get everything we can out of this.
Right. Yeah.
So
I'm more than excited about this. I think it's gonna be awesome. He does such an awesome job as Ethan Hunt. Plus, you know, I thought adding Jeremy Renner to the cast was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them work again together.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my favorite, Simon Pegg. I definitely want him to show up again.
Adore.
I don't really care so much about Paula Patton, but
no.
You know, I thought they had such a great chemistry. I want to see more of that. And if, you know, all things align, I would love Brad Bird to direct it again. He just did an amazing job with Ghost Protocol. So,
oh gosh, yes.
Yeah, I have high hopes for this.
I agree. And I'm very optimistic that it will happen, and that mm-hmm. when it does, it'll be awesome again.
Yeah, it seems like right now this is full-on gossip, but fingers crossed there will be some sort of follow-up that's a little more set in stone that this will happen.
Yes. Right. This is totally conjecture, total rumors, whatever. There's nothing set in stone at all. But the fact is that the studio is considering it when they mm-hmm. really are pursuing the idea of, you know, getting Tom in back again one more time.
Right. And I mean, he's in pretty amazing shape. So I think as long as he can do it, he should do it. I mean, he's fantastic in those movies.
Nobody runs like Tom Cruise runs.
It's true. It's true. Some people do run pretty good, but
he's one of the top. Carrie and I have spent many an hour talking about how much we love Tom Cruise. Every time we see a movie, we're like, God, that man can run. He's the best. Mm-hmm. He's the best movie runner.
Yeah. He's also an amazing ninja warrior. like we saw in The Last Samurai. Who would have thought?
Indeed. You know, it's funny. I listened to another movie podcast, Movie BS, and I think they spent a good, like, half hour, like, analyzing, like, why Tom Cruise is such a good runner. Like, what about mm-hmm. his technique makes him a good runner?
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the best half hour I've ever spent.
Yeah, I don't know enough about running technique to know why he's a good runner. I just know that he seems to have good form.
He does. Mm-hmm.
So Movie Line, sadly not a magazine anymore, but still a website, is going to have their Soily Awards, which is kind of like the Razzies, only it's more about movies who just frankly were bad, but took themselves so seriously. We'll have a full listing up on the blog later, but it's just kind of humorous to see, you know, what movies
just
get picked.
Yeah, it's meant to be like, you know, the Razzies are more like movies that aren't really taking themselves seriously to begin with, that do end up being really terrible. You know, Jack and Jill.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe Tower Heist, even though that movie was actually kind of good. Whereas the Soilies are meant to be about movies that are meant to be very serious, and they're very, like, serious filmmakers, and, like, they're wanting to make an epic, you know, film, or a very
you
know, artsy film, and it just ends up being ridiculous because of their mentalities.
Although there are some movies on there that, you know, are really bad.
Yes, that's absolutely. But movies that intended, they're like, yeah, this is really going to hit audiences because we're, like, being, you know, serious. We're going to, like, really make some money, and, you know, people are really going to love these movies or whatever. Not just doing it for laughs. Like, you know, something. They have things on there like J. Edgar, Albert Nobbs. Obviously, in them really bad movies, of course, like Your Highness or Arthur or something like that. But anyway, it is quite funny because I do enjoy poking movies at poking fun at movies that take themselves too seriously.
Yep.
Anyway, so you can go to our blog and check that out because the list is pretty hilarious. And we would like to give a quick shout out to the real winner of the weekend, and that would be Eddie Murphy's perfect zero on Rotten Tomatoes for his movie that just came out. I can't even remember.
What was that, 1,000 words?
Yeah, 1,000 words. I wonder, there was an, I found an article that said, there aren't very, I wonder how many movies there are. But they said what's so amazing is that it'll be interesting to see over time if they can keep this perfect zero. Because even some movies have eventually, you know, gotten a mixed review here and there, so they're not quite at zero anymore.
Right.
So they're like, we keep an eye on this to see how well it's going to go. Oh, they're saying one movie that kept, that's been keeping its the zero percentage was Ballistic X versus Sever that Lucy Liu. I remember when that came out. I didn't know.
I didn't see that one though.
So, good job, Eddie Murphy.
Yep. Congratulations. Well, we managed to see two movies this weekend. John Carter and Friends with Kids.
John Carter. I didn't really know that much about it. I only really went and saw it, to be perfectly honest, because I had a free Saturday and I felt like I should. Otherwise, I really had no desire to see it.
But, you know, like I said,
I know you did. I know. But I was like, you know what? Reviews are kind of mixed. I'll just give it a try. And I went in. I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. I have no idea about the backstory of this. I barely even knew what it was about. Apparently, it's had a really epic struggle to actually even get to the screen. Apparently, it's based on these books written 100 years ago. And apparently, they're a really good source material for a lot of the sci-fi readers today. So, yeah, to be honest, I was trying to think of, like, some things to say about it. And I could barely... I really couldn't come up with anything to say about it except that I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I you know, I tried to come up with a few thoughts. I have never read any of the stories, so I really didn't know much going into it other than that it was really bad, or it was really used as an influence for Star Wars, which I really love. So, you know, I kind of wanted to give it a chance. So I kind of came out of it with this, you know, desire to read the stories, and which I found on Amazon. Like, some of them were free. I ended up paying 99 cents to get the first three John Carter stories, which were,
even
like,
better.
On Kindle. So, you know, I'm interested to read those and find out, you know, how much did this influence Star Wars? And then at the same time, like, how much did Star Wars the movies influence John Carter the movie, just as far as, like, the overall environment and some of the creatures and the machines. I think it'd just be really interesting to kind of piece together, you know, what's influencing what. I was a little distracted by Taylor Kitsch's voice during the movie. I was a huge Friday Night Lights fan, and I don't feel like his voice was, like, that deep and gravelly all the time. I'm wondering if he's, like, pulling a Christian Bale Batman, like, making his voice deeper and gravelier than it needs to be.
I hope not, because I gotta say, his voice kind of bothers me. As long as it doesn't get to Clint Eastwood style, then I really don't... Clint Eastwood's the worst, so as long as it doesn't get that bad, I can probably still handle it. I can't say that I really noticed it. I have to say, I was really impressed with Taylor Kitsch. Like, at first, I was a little bit like, I don't really know. I only know him on Friday Night Lights. I just wasn't sure that he could pull off this leading role. And at the beginning of the movie, I was like, I don't know if I buy this. But the more we got into it, the more I loved him. I was like, it was great. I felt it was really, I really enjoyed him.
I did too.
I think he was funny. The action was great. He looked really good.
Oh my gosh, he had muscles on muscles. How does that happen?
I did not anticipate that, to be honest. I don't know why, but I did not anticipate
when he
that.
Was like tied down in the cave with the other little baby creatures, and he's like pulling at the chains, and like every muscle is like clearly defined and amazing looking. What the heck happened there, Taylor Kitsch? Apparently, he's been spending like all of his waking time at the gym. Keep doing it. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. It was amazing.
I know. Now I'm really interested. I actually pretty have no desire to see Battleship, but I'm interested to see how he does in that, because that'll be another.
I agree.
He's clearly breaking out, and I like that, because I was impressed with him.
And by Battleship, do you mean Transformers in the Water? Is that the movie we're talking about?
Yes. I didn't know they were making another Transformers movie.
I know. Yeah, and I thought, I did read some kind of harsh reviews of John Carter, and they were talking about how basically, like, if you looked at the whole movie, like, the first two-thirds were really slow, and then it, like, doesn't pick up until the last third. But, you know, I was interested the entire time. I didn't really feel like I ever needed to, like, get up and leave, or that it wasn't holding my attention. Like, I feel like they did a good job of setting up not necessarily his entire background on Earth, but, you know, kind of the type of person he was, and, you know, a little bit of his kind of emotional backstory with his family, and then, you know, how he gets to Mars. So I feel like some of the reviews were a little harsher than they actually needed to be.
I think I will agree that it did feel long. But I would say maybe like the first half or so, and I couldn't even tell you what felt long, but I did catch myself a couple times saying, oh my God, this movie is 2 hours. How am I going to make it? Oh my God. But eventually that all went out of my head and I stopped. I didn't even notice it anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a couple beers before I saw it. That could maybe have something to do with it. I don't know.
Maybe. The other thing is, it was pretty, the plot was very complicated, and I still had a time around time even at the end being like, I don't understand like who's good and who's bad. I think the red are bad and I think the blue are good, but they did not do a very good job at that at the beginning. I wish they would've...
and all of their names sounded alike. They'd be talking about people and you'd be like, who the hell are they talking about? Because this name sounds exactly like someone else's name.
Well, right. Didn't they call, I feel like they called everyone like Tark Tarsum.
Yeah, like, or whatever, but yeah, they did. And I don't know if that was, like, some sort of, like, leader title or what. Oh, my gosh.
That was sort of my impression, is that eventually I was like, it must be a word for leader, because why would they both be calling using the same word?
And I kind of thought it was hilarious. I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I hate all of these stupid futuristic-sounding names. And, like, you know, Mars is Barsoom and Earth is Jarsoom or whatever, and I'm thinking this is so stupid, and at the same time I'm thinking to myself, I love Star Wars like you would not believe, and they have some pretty like out there sounding names and stuff on there, and yet when I'm thinking about Star Trek it totally works for me, but for some reason on this, like, it just was not working for me. But that's just me and my futuristic names.
No.
I don't like them except in Star Wars apparently. Oh, and maybe Star Trek, I guess.
I don't like them either because it's hard to keep them. But you know what? To be honest, I find myself doing the same thing. Like when I watched Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like all of their names were like slightly unfamiliar. And I had such a hard time keeping them straight because like I can't immediately associate them with something that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing with movies like this too.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time kind of keeping the plot straight, like who was on whose side and why they were doing what, like. But I don't find that hindered my enjoyment of the movie at all, really.
It was a little distracting, but it wasn't enough to make me not enjoy what I was watching.
Yeah. And it was funny. Like, there were lots of, like, bits where I was laughing out loud. Like, you know, it was amusing. There were, you know, and I thought the action scenes were good.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the reasons that it got so many awful reviews is because the expectations were so high. Like, right. The budget was ridiculous. It was, like, $250 million. It took, I don't even know how many years it took to actually get to the screen. Mm-hmm. And so people were like, you spend $250 million and this is what you're giving me? Mm-hmm. Not good enough.
Right.
I think that's the main reason that, because even when I was looking at the, just, like, a couple, some of the blurbs of the reviews on, like, Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of them started with, for $250 million, it sure isn't worth that much, you know, right. That type of attitude. And I'm like, well, let's judge the movie on its merits, not on how much money it was used to make it. Even though their merits aren't that much, to be perfectly honest. But if you're into fantasy at all or sci-fi, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it as well. I'd probably give it like a 2.5 out of 5. I mean, it had some drawbacks. It was long and, you know, a little, it's, you know, they tried to get a lot in there, so it kind of makes it a little complicated to watch. But overall, entertaining. I mean, some of the best movies are probably not the highest rated movies, but, you know, it's an entertaining movie, and especially if you, at all like sci-fi or fantasy.
Yep, absolutely. I would probably give it a 3 out of 5. I definitely enjoyed it. And even with some of the negative side effects overall, the bad stuff doesn't stick out in my mind. The good stuff did.
Right.
So.
I agree.
Well, while we both pretty much have the consensus on John Carter, Friends with Kids, we definitely do not have a consensus.
No.
And it is, which is good, but it is a little strange for us because we have very similar movie tastes and we tend to really like the same stuff. But Carrie really loved this movie and I did not like it at all. So I thought, Carrie, I will give you the floor first.
Okay.
Go ahead and make your case.
Okay.
And then I'll respond.
Okay. Sounds good. I think, you know, first of all, I loved the cast. You know, most of them were from Bridesmaids. So they were pretty familiar. You know, Maya Rudolph, Chris O'Dowd, John Hamm, Kristen Wiig, who doesn't love her. And then, you know, the main characters, not from Bridesmaids, Adam Scott and Jennifer Westfeldt, I thought did a really great job. You could tell their relationship, you know, they're best friends. You felt like when you're watching them that these are two people who really are best friends. You know, as soon as something good happens or something bad happens, they're talking to each other or they're seeing each other, you know. You could just, their chemistry was so great together. And I just felt like, you know, as, you know, someone, I guess, in their late 20s, early 30s, watching this, I found it completely relatable. I mean, you're kind of at that point where people around you are getting married, having kids, and, you know, in this, it's starting out with, you know, the two main characters, Jason and Julie, going to dinner with their friends, and their friends are all announcing that they're having babies. And, you know, it's like, what do you do once the dynamic changes like that with your relationships? And so I found it really relatable. I thought the dialogue was very sharp and witty. You know, I was never, like, bored listening to them talk, I guess. And also, you know, I really enjoy the movie about what to do if you want to have, you know, 100% commitment to your child, but only half the time, which just sounds like the perfect way to raise a child. Because it seems exhausting if you have to do it 100% of the time.
I'm sure many parents out there would agree with you wholeheartedly with that statement.
I mean, I think that's a brilliant idea. And, you know, I mean, in the movie, it has its ups and downs, but it just seems like, hey, you know, you don't have to be tired every day. You could just be tired half the days.
Right.
And then I think, like, part of it, though, that I really liked, and I'm, like, a huge sucker for the romantic comedies or romantic dramas, whatever, but just, you know, watching these people, Jason and Julie, kind of go through their relationship and kind of try to define it, and just have these moments where they're realizing different, you know, realizing things are changing or not realizing things are changing and having to deal with it. I just thought they did a really great job kind of conveying that to the audience.
Yeah, definitely. Are you finished? Is that does that sort of wrap up your?
I don't know. You can talk for a little while.
Okay. Well, I will say that I think I put the bar for this movie, fairly or not, relatively high, because of how much I loved Bridesmaids, and how clever and smart and interesting Kristen Wiig, you know, wrote that and directed it. Maybe that's not a fair comparison. I mean, especially
Like Bridesmaids.
What? You didn't like Bridesmaids?
I didn't like Bridesmaids, no.
It was too mean. It's
too mean? It was
too mean. I didn't know that. Well,
yeah.
Disregarding that disturbing fact.
Sorry.
this movie actually was made before Bridesmaids came out. So I think it's maybe a tiny bit unfair then to kind of have that expectation since, you know... And the other reason that it's also unfair to have that expectation is because it was written and directed not by Kristen Wiig, but by Jennifer Westfeldt, the girl who played the main character.
Right. So why would you expect it to be the same when it's written and directed by someone completely different?
Well, because I didn't realize that. It wasn't until afterwards when I was like, what the heck was up with that movie that I was doing research on it. Like, I honestly...
Thought this was Bridesmaids 2?
No, I didn't think it was Bridesmaids 2. I just thought it was going to be the similar style, you know? Like, the first time I watched it was at the preview was, you know, two shows ago when we watched,
right.
We talked about it then. And we, you know, and I jokingly called it, you know, Bridesmaids 2 with kids, but it wasn't like that at all. And I'm really disappointed. So I will agree that it was an interesting commentary on this, I think the age that we're getting in, you know, when all of your friends are getting married and having babies. Absolutely. But I will disagree. I didn't love the dialogue. Most of the time it was sharp. It was sharp when they were like in a group and when they were doing comedy things, but whenever they were doing serious stuff, it just felt fake and forced. Yes.
I really liked, especially like, the moments when, you know, Julie is like realizing how she feels about Jason and she's, you know, basically spilling her guts to him. Like, I found that to be like, it just seemed so honest. And I felt for her. Like, I didn't really feel like it was forced. It really seemed like she was just like spilling all of her emotions.
It wasn't the entire movie where I felt like the dialogue was bad. In that scene, I did actually like the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that scene where she kind of, you know, has dinner with with Adam Scott character and to the end, I did enjoy it. I will say that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I will agree. It gets a little, you know, once they have the baby, I think it gets a little slow for a little while until that scene where she kind of confesses how she feels.
I agree. Yes.
But I don't feel like it was slow enough to make me not enjoy it. And I still kind of like the journey of them getting there.
Yeah. It was funny because I went with my friend and we were talking yesterday about it. And she's like, I could tell you did not like this. She's like, you spent a lot of time. You were making big sighs. You were like, all the time. Like, I was just thinking to myself, Anna clearly does not like this movie. And I didn't realize I was being that dramatic about it, but I genuinely did not enjoy myself with this movie. Like, I spent, I was angry at it. I think the main reason I think I might have been angry at it was because I didn't like how they treated the marriages of the two side couples, John Hamm and Kristen Wiig and Crystal Dowd and Maya Rudolph, their two characters. I didn't like how they treated them. I wish I would have loved to see actually a movie about those two characters, those two couples, and how this troubled relationships, like how they worked through this troubled relationship. So clearly,
yeah, but it wasn't their movie.
It wasn't. But I'm just saying, I would have.
That wasn't this movie. That's a different movie.
No, I agree with that. But I felt like those, especially John Hamm and Kristen Whaley, like their relationship, that was really dark, and it just did not jive with the rest of the movie. Because they were trying to pull it off as sort of like a rom-com, you know, a funny movie, and then all of a sudden you have these like really dark outbursts by, you know, those two like Hamm and Whig, and it'd just be like, where the hell did that come from? And then it'd be done. And I just felt like
I don't think they really build it though as a rom-com. I mean,
seriously, you don't think so?
No.
I mean, when I watched the preview, I was laughing my butt off.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, I didn't go into this expecting, like, the proposal.
No.
You know? I mean, I don't think this was billed as a typical rom-com, and I think, you know, having those kind of awkward couple moments, you know, like, when they're all together and you see kind of the kind of dark and destructive relationship that Kristen Wiig and John Hamm's characters have. I felt like it kind of was sort of in one of those moments where you're with a couple and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. What do I do? And you know, you don't see their relationship at home, but if you were their friends, you wouldn't either, you know? So you're just getting those snippets of what's happening at that time. I felt like it was really honest and really like normal to see that, just in a way of, if you're friends with a bunch of couples, you kind of see different sides of everybody, but you're only seeing that little snippet.
Isn't, okay, well then couldn't you also argue that, because you're saying it's not about those two couples, right? Because it's really about Adam Scott and Jennifer Westphal. It's really about their relationship and how they're interacting with each other. Then I think you could also say then it's because it's not about those two couples. Then what are they even doing, like injecting this like weird, it's not about how those two couples, how Adam Scott and Jennifer Westfield are interacting with Hamm and Whig and O'Dowd and Rudolph. It's not about how they're interacting with them. So why would you keep bringing them in there and making it about that, you know, and how you're interacting with them and like, oh, look at how like my friends are reacting to these things.
Well, at the
know?
Same time, they're kind of trying to do like a social experiment, and you can't really do a social experiment without having like someone have some sort of take on it.
I guess I just thought it was those two main couples were, they didn't add anything in my opinion to the movie. And it frankly made me dislike the movie more. Because they brought those two side characters in it. So, I don't know. Oh, and the other thing, I really could not stand Jennifer Westfield. I could not, her character, her face looks like she's got a ton of work done. I just felt like there was no movement in the face. Her voice drove me crazy. She was using her hair all the time as like a...
Yes, she was messing with her hair
yes,
all the time.
Yes, she was using it as kind of like a shield.
Funny she even mentions it, though. She's just like... Because at one point she's like, yeah. I'm not really pretty, I just have good hair.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really didn't like her. And that was one of the reasons I was so frustrated with the movie when I was watching it. So... Yeah, I would probably give it a 2 stars, and maybe even 1 star, because I wouldn't recommend this to anybody.
I'm giving it 3. I really would recommend it. I liked it. I don't recommend it for everybody,
Yes.
You know, obviously, but, you know, I think if you like a good ensemble drama, which I do, that
this
you
is
would
not a
really
true
enjoy
ensemble
this.
Drama.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I don't know. Clearly there was something about the movie that just hit a wrong chord with me, and I just spent the whole movie, like, you know, having it grate on me. So
I find that very strange.
I know. I did, too. When I found out you liked it, I was shocked, because we both are very similar with our movies, which, you mm-hmm. know, maybe it would make things a little more interesting if we disagreed more often. But I guess that's one of the reasons why we're such good movie friends.
Right.
We love the same movies, but...
Yeah.
That's okay. We don't have to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did you see anything, any interesting trailers at all when you went to the movies this weekend?
You know, I didn't really see too much new. I did. Well, you know, I think we both saw that little, I think it was before John Carter, probably,
yeah,
the clip from Brave, which I tweeted,
yes,
a little while back. You know, every time I see something about that movie, I want to see it more and more. It looks so magical and wonderful, so excited for that.
Agreed. Yes.
I think also,
yeah, the biggest...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, one of the big ones that I saw that I hadn't really been thinking about was Men in Black 3.
Yes.
I hadn't seen a preview for that yet, so that was kind of exciting. I do love Will Smith, and I love Will Smith being funny, because he does it really well.
I love the Men in Black movies. The other two I thought were so funny, and I just loved Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. I thought they had such great chemistry together. And then to see this trailer where he's going back in time, like, what, to the 60s, I think? That,
oh, yeah,
looks awesome. And then Josh Brolin playing the younger Tommy Lee Jones.
Genius.
Was spot on. Oh, my gosh. Like, the voice was there. The facial expressions are there. I think that's going to be amazing.
Genius.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm
excited. Also, I'm pretty sure I saw Bill Hader in that.
Bill, I hope
I don't
Bill
know
Hader.
For sure, but
I hope
I think
Bill
I did, and I love him.
Yes, I hope Bill Hader's in it, because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
The other movie, I actually did not see this one in a theater at all. I think I did see it in the front of one movie, but I don't remember. It wasn't one I saw this weekend, but was What to Expect When You're Expecting. The one movie you would never expect them to make into a movie, and not only a movie, but a comedy.
It does. Oh my gosh. Although, to tell you the truth, I'm not even that interested in, like, the stories of the women who were pregnant. I'm only interested in the dad group getting together, which is, like, Chris Rock, Tom Lennon, Rob Hubel, and another guy. I don't know his name, but... they are hilarious telling their stories,
yes,
about, like, all the horrible things that happen to their kids while they're not looking.
Yes.
And, you know, their whole philosophy is don't judge. And, like,
I think they
are going to be hysterical. So I don't even really care about the rest of the movie, but I really want to see it just for that.
Yep. I am very excited. Although the only thing I'm not looking forward to is Jennifer Lopez, because I don't really like her.
Take her or leave her. I don't really have any big issues with her.
I have a feeling her character is going to be the serious part of the movie. I'm also a little bit afraid that it's going to be an ensemble drama, like our ensemble movie, I guess, sort of like Love Actually.
Right.
Or
speaking of Love Actually, Hot Carl will be in What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yes, he will.
Awesome.
Yes, he will. Yeah, I am a little bit afraid, because I really hate ensemble dramas.
I know, but you're like the only person in the world who hates Love Actually, so I don't feel like you really get to bring
come
that
on
up.
Claire, surely there's other people who do not like that movie. I just
no, no one else hates that movie. Everyone loves that movie. I'm sorry, Anna, you're alone.
That's okay. I don't care. I don't care. As long as I don't have to watch it again, I don't care if I'm the only person. what was that one movie recently? Stupid Crazy Love. Crazy Stupid Love.
Get it right.
I know. That's how much I liked it. Yeah. I was sorely disappointed to find out that was ensemble drama. And I'll tell you the main reason I don't like them is because I get bored with some of the stories. What happens when you don't love all the stories? I'm like, I don't care. Move on. Go back to the other people. I like them better. You know, I don't like that. I just feel like you spend so much time looking at so many different couples, you can't fully develop anybody's story. That's my opinion.
I like it though. I know you.
Except
for New Year's Eve. That was terrible.
Well, yeah, I think I'm kind of under the impression that any of those movies now are going to be shitty. I'm not convinced they're ever going to make another good
one
of those.
Valentine's Day was much better than New Year's Eve. I mean, that's not saying a lot, but New Year's Eve was like the bottom of the barrel. It was bad.
I Yeah, I couldn't say because I didn't see any of those, and I don't ever plan to.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So, I don't even know when that comes out, but I'm pretty excited about that.
Yep. It comes out May 18th.
Oh, okay. Well, a little while.
And Men in Black comes out May 25th, so.
Okay.
Still got a little while on those, but.
Stop. Well, speaking of when things are coming out, this weekend, I know Carrie and I are both really looking forward to 21 Jump Street.
So exciting.
Yes. It's already gotten awesome reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know what percentage it's at, but it's definitely fresh. And I gotta say, I live and breathe Rotten Tomatoes when it comes to judging whether or not I go see a movie often. Oh, it's at 85%. And that makes me so happy because I really
Rotten
want this
Tomatoes
to be good.
Rotten Tomatoes has led me wrong a few times, but...
It does. Yeah. It has in a couple of times.
I'm super, super excited.
Yes. Yes. I've seen...
I think it's going to be awesome.
Go.
I think it's going to be interesting to find out who Johnny Depp plays in the movie.
Yeah.
Right now, IMDb still lists him as playing Tom Hansen, his character in the TV show. But there have been rumors that he doesn't, you know, look like himself and he might not be playing Tom Hansen. So it'll be kind of interesting to find out who he is playing.
So keep your eyes peeled for him because he could be anywhere.
Yep.
So other than that, to be honest, there's really not a lot coming out this weekend that I want to see. I mean... Jeff, Who Lives at Home, maybe. I love Ed Helms, and I love Will Ferrell. Or is it Will Ferrell? No.
Jeff, Who Lives at Home? No, it's Marshall from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, my God, duh, that's so stupid. Yes, yes,
Jason Segel.
Yeah. So I love those two. That's kind of on my radar, but I'm 21 Jump Street is definitely, that's first priority. At this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's that Casa de...
That's probably going to be all I see this weekend.
Yeah. I guess it really just depends on how much time I have, you know, to go to the movies. But I'll at least go see 21 Jump Street.
Yep.
Okay. I think that wraps up our show for this week. Any last words, Carrie?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 2Women1Movie. And that's 2 and 1 are both numbers. So follow us there.
And enjoy your weekend at the movies.